It's everything Queensland footy.
Good bold football from the Brisbane Lions.
That's a big one for the Suns.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
Yes, it is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure, bringing you everything AFL in the Sunshine State. My name's Nick Davis. I welcome, as always, Jack Fulham and Will Ralston. A top two clash on Thursday night. Never been more excited for Thursday night footy. But first, Jack Fulham, you were front and centre at the Gold Coast Suns. Victory over the Crows on Sunday. They've got it done again. And importantly, they've broken their post by hoodoo.
They have. It's a really important win for the Suns. And one of those wins where they were challenged in that last quarter. The Crows were coming thick and fast. And the Suns of yesteryear would have lost that game, but they found a little bit in them and they ran out the game really well, despite only having two rotations left on the bench after that. Look, let's get it out of the way now.
Okay.
Will Powell, who we really love on this podcast,
yeah,
and I think is probably on his way to emerging into being a really, really good halfback flanker in this league. Whoa, it was a horrific injury. He went to go kick the footy and Adelaide player is cannon into the bottom of his leg / ankle area. Kind of almost, well, not similar to Nathan Brown, but
it was certainly in that same vein of, actually, you guys were going off in our group chat and the way you described it, I still haven't watched it. I can't bring myself. Also, there's no point in watching it for the sake of Will.
It's 100% not worth watching. I was up in the box there and I actually put the binoculars on it and it just instantly regretted that. It's a terrible situation, but bravo to Fox Footy and to the people operating the scoreboard at Metricon Stadium. Not one replay of it was shown.
Great.
Which is fantastic. But you saw as soon as Will Power went down, the Crows player, who I'm not 100% sure who it was, instantly started waving for the trainer.
Great.
And the ball had gone about 100 metres downfield and that Crows player stayed with him for as long as he could.
It's just such a gut punch for a team that's had no luck with injuries over the existence of the club, but let alone this season with King and Weller and now this. And he's such a promising young player who does so much for the team in providing a spark and providing a bit of courage and a bit of class.
And by God, he's tough too.
Yeah.
He's the first one to run back with the flight of the footy, or he's a real heart and soul player, and you can see that emerging with him. So, and even post-game, those Suns players were, despite having a really good win, they were sad for him.
Well, you remember how the Mitch Wallace leg injury galvanised that team back in 2016? Was it 2016? Was that the premiership year that Wallace broke his leg? So,
that's right.
Look, these sort of things can bring a side together. We have focused on the negatives because there were so many positives to come out of this game. And yes, the injury to Connor Budrick as well doesn't help. Joel Jeffrey looks like he'll be okay. But
Isaac Rankin,
wasn't he sensational? Yeah. This year, we looked at his debut year and we thought he was, and it could have been a flash in the pan. He has built and built and built this season. Another 3 goals, I think 17 touches. And these are the games where he can dominate. We know he's a confidence player, Will, and to see him play like that, it gives you so much hope going forward.
It feels like he became a competition-wide talking point at one point, maybe, I don't know, 6 weeks ago. And it's been since that moment that he's almost turned his career around. Not that he's on the brink of, you know, becoming a washed-up player or anything, but he's been electric. And the forward line that we thought was a bit of a weak point for the Suns this season, you've got Chole and Casbolt have proven themselves to be very capable as a tall forward duo.
Can we have a combination for them? Can we have a combination name for, I want to roll with maybe Chole Bolt or something
Chole
like
Bolt.
That. Yep. Are we happy with that?
I like Chole Bolt.
Well, yeah. Chole Bolt, okay.
And then another 3 goals each for them. And then you've got Ainsworth and Rankin and then Roses and all the players that we've seen over the last month just popping their hand up. Joel Jeffrey we saw again.
It's only the second time in the Suns' history that they've scored more than 100 points 3 consecutive occasions.
There you go.
Which is,
and it's worth, because that leads to their current percentage, which is starting to get into very competitive territory. It's 111.6. We only have to go back to round 10, 93.6. And then you go back a further 2 weeks to round 8, 89.9.
They've put some beltings on.
They really have built a solid base for the second half of the season, which, as we've said many times, is their kryptonite.
And can I just say, in the second half of that game against the Crows, there is one player for the Suns that just really stood up and said, I'm going to put this team on my back, especially when the Crows started to challenge in the third and fourth quarters, and that was Noah Anderson. He was everywhere in the second half of that game, and probably the best game of AFL I've seen him play. if he had finished off with a goal or two, you probably would have said definite three Brownlow votes.
Very happy what they're putting together. And just on the sake of culture at this team, we've seen it grow. Watching Alex Davies' grandpa join in the song.
Oh.
I mean, look, I'm sure there's some grumpy old bloke out there going, no, the song's only for players. I love it. They didn't care. That was a wonderful moment. And we've watched Davies.
My eyeball started to sweat.
Oh, that's nice, wasn't it? But that's the thing. We've watched Alex Davies put together a really nice season, and he's really knocking on the door for a constant spot in this side in their best 22. But I like what they're doing. That doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be this sacred space. We've seen the rooms become a lot more family-friendly environment. And these are just the little 1% things that make a team like the Suns something very special.
It's the Stewie Jew factor, isn't it? And you can see why kids are re-signing. You can see why they're hesitant to let him go. Obviously, they need the results to go their way. But it's things like that, the culturally things that... seeing Stewie Jew do the goal umpire, you know, finger
that
guns
nice.
With Alex Davies' nice. Grandfather from Japan. It's just lovely.
And one of the great things about the Suns this year, where they're really starting to emerge as a good club, is the depth that they have. Like, they belted GWS in the twos by about 66 points on the weekend. And you have a look at some of the players that are running around for him in the VFL. Like, Rory Atkins will probably come in and replace Will Powell on that halfback flank. Fiorini was playing some good football in the senior side and, you know, couldn't find his way in. Charlie Constable, they picked up, but Sam Day was running around there. Darcy McPherson's played a lot of AFL football over the last few years, can't find his way into the side. And then they got some real good kids like Elijah Hollands when he gets his opportunities.
Absolutely.
He's going to be
really
a solid contributor.
So
they have depth to the Suns, and it's wonderful to see.
Well, the big thing we were going to see, and especially coming into this clash against Port Adelaide Sunday afternoon at Adelaide Oval in the twilight slot. Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Port will be up and about after that win over Sydney, but they've lost three running halfbacks in the past few weeks. Yeah. And we said coming into, we probably even looked too far ahead. We were talking about Richmond and Collingwood over the next couple of weeks. But this Port clash, to go 8-6 and take a road win, is going to be so important for the back half of this Sun season.
It really is. Well, this is the make or break stretch of games. It's Port, then it's Richmond, then it's Collingwood.
It's where we focused our attention a few weeks ago. We just saw the Swans go down to Port at home. They're a very capable side there at Port Adelaide, and when they get that rowdy crowd, it's going to be one of the toughest challenges they've had so far.
And this is pretty much last roll of the dice for Port. If they lose this game,
you think so?
They kiss September goodbye, and you'd probably be some question marks about Ken Hinckley's future as well. So desperate times for Port Adelaide. So
The Suns are ahead of them on the ladder.
They are
a win and percentage ahead.
11th versus 12th. I've never been so excited for that fixture. So
4-10. It feels bigger than that.
It does feel well. It's a fascinating round we've got this weekend, but I'm sure we'll hear that a lot. But let's now focus on what will be the match of the round, but probably the match of the season. Top two blockbuster Thursday.
Just having
night
the main
footy.
Course first up.
Oh, if you don't Isn't mind, it? Lions, Demons, MCG. Now, we know about the Lions MCG record. Haven't played there since round one of 2020, which we all remember is when the season just went to smithereens. And
I was there.
You were there. Yeah, Gil gave the press conference at halftime. And look, we know they didn't really play that second half anyway, but haven't won there, Will, since 2014.
Yes, I think Jono Freeman kicked a bag that night.
Oh, boy.
From memory.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. We only get to play there once, twice a season at best. That's the main sticking point for me. I don't think the Demons intimidate me, obviously, as much as they did a month ago. But just in general, I think there's been this aura about them that they haven't really deserved just yet because they haven't played very quality opposition to this point in the season. And neither have we to that point. So I really have no idea what is going to happen. I think it's a flip of a coin at this point. And Max Gorn out is an interesting factor.
That's huge.
Stephen May in is an interesting factor. It's going to be fascinating. I think it's going to be a blockbuster for Channel 7, I'll put it that way.
And the other thing around this game, depending on the result of Carlton Freo, the Lions win this, they could go a game clear on top of the AFL ladder. And it's actually real getting into cow on the roof territories where you just go, I don't know how they've got there.
Well, it's two weeks in a row we've been top of the ladder.
It does feel slightly wrong, but you're right. Other teams have dropped away.
Honestly, it's around. It feels like a final series this weekend with a couple of wild card games just as a little side dish. We just spoke about Port and the Gold Coast, but then, there's other games outside the eight that are just as interesting.
Coming into the game, we know that Dane Zorko wants to be on that plane down there. He spoke this morning, said he's doing everything he can. He's, as we record this morning, Tuesday morning, he's undergoing a fitness test. if he doesn't make it in, look, we saw how well Kaden Coleman played in the qualifying final against the D's, which was ended up being a 33-point loss down at Adelaide Oval. They kicked away late in the game. That was one of the best games he's ever played for the club. Lachie Neale, 46 touches. I expect him to dominate the touches again on a ground like the MCG, but where's this game going to be won for the Lions?
I think it's just out of the middle. I think it's out of the middle every time we lose. It's our weakness. If we can't get the quality footy from our midfielders who aren't Lachie Neale, then we have issues. We need big performances from Jared Lyons and Jared Berry and Hugh McCluggage. And those guys have had very good seasons, very good recent seasons as well in the last few weeks that we've seen them all performing. So I think if we are able to, that final kick inside 50 is where we have been losing games this year, if we're not delivering quality footy to our forwards. But having Joe back, I think we saw against St Kilda, was a major factor in the reason we won. And I think it's going to be a big factor in how we beat Melbourne. I think we are going to win. That's where I'm leaning towards
at
this stage.
I know we're a very biased podcast, but I like it.
Well, I reckon that'll just about wrap us up.
I think that'll do it. I couldn't end on a more confident note.
But I don't know. Where do you think this game's going to be won or lost? Are there any weak points in our...
Well, look... The last time we played against the Demons, we struggled, as you said, with that entry inside forward 50. Yeah, Lever and May really cut us to pieces. And we're going to have to move the ball well off halfback. Going to have to be very deliberate, because the turnover, we've seen our midfielders get caught out, not two-way running, not staying with their man. The D's mids can destroy us should they choose to.
And that's what I reckon about this game, is that both, like, the Demons are this team that plays this surge football where they'll go on a purple period of, you know, 15 minutes where they kick five or six goals and it's just bang out of the centre goal, bang out of the centre goal. And the Lions can do the same. And I honestly just think it's probably going to be level for, you know, three quarters of the match, and it's whoever has the biggest surge when they decide to surge.
We saw against Frio, when we're playing against a good team with a really rock-solid system, where we get caught into that, just bombing it to about 30 metres out from goal to a big pack, and that's how we lose games. It's going inside 50 and not playing to our strengths. So,
do you sometimes think the Lions play too fast, Will? Like, there's not a lot of tempo sometimes when the game's not going their way.
I did think that against Hawthorn down in Tassie.
Yeah, where they just keep trying to go fast and right the ship instead of playing some tempo footy, chipping the ball around, taking the sting out of the opposition, and then going.
You want to represent the DNA of your game plan and of your footy team. And when we've got such good pace, and it's when we play our best, is when we're just flying from a Daniel Rich kick from centre half back to through the corridor. But yeah, when things aren't going our way, we really struggle to pull ourselves out of it, which was why the St Kilda game was satisfying, because we really could have lost that and we managed to eke out a win. I am hopeful that in the last month we've been going through a very heavy training load or something like that, which you hear about in this point of season when there's form slumps. And I think we've gotten out of our form slump 2-2. So fingers crossed, this is when we look fresh. Off the bye, Demons are vulnerable. They're out of form, lost three in a row at home. This is their fourth game at home. They're on the ropes culturally. They've been in the news a lot. We're buzzing. We're top of the ladder. Go a game clear. This is it. We've been disappointing in big blockbuster games in the past, over the last few years, even despite making the top four. So let's make this one the exception.
Oh, I hear confidence there, Will. That's what I hear from you. I hear a lot of confidence. We are excited. MCG Thursday night, 1 vs 2, Lions versus Demons. I think we can safely say whoever wins this will emerge the premiership favourite. Jack Fulham, yes. Will Ralston, thank you very much for joining us again. This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure. Triple M Rocks Footy, Northern Exposure, Rocks Queensland.